Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Reed.
I'm Annie.
It's just Reed and Annie this week. We're all kind of recovering from BravoCon. Reed, Zach, Mo's boyfriend Colson. We were all there. Zach's friend Britvo. I love her. Shout out to Britvo. We're all recovering. I think we all caught the Bravo bug. Yeah, Annie and Maddie held it down. I was just about to segue that into awesome episode last week. Good job.
Yeah, it was so fun.
It was so much fun. You and Maddie were a great time, and you guys are welcome on together anytime. BravoCon was a whirl, guys. Mo and Colson were there for work. They got to do some awesome styling stuff. Zach, myself, Zach's friend Britvo, we kind of meandered around town, got into some trouble. Lots of really cool Bravo interactions. I met Alexis Bellino from Real Housewives of Orange County at Piranha. I had like a selfie with her and I was like, who's Alexis Bellino? Because I just have not, that's like the one franchise.
Reed, don't say that. In Jersey.
I know. She was so pretty and cool. So I know who she is now. And it's just funny that that happened. But there was lots of like interactions like that. And it was just a really good time. With that being said, obviously Mo isn't on the mic today. He was going to be, but he got pulled into something important. So Mo is getting some really cool opportunities styling wise. And he styled Madison LaCroix at BravoCon. She looked banging in every freaking look. Shout out to Mo and Colson. They killed that shit. And so with that,
there was one look that I helped with, which I just want to say.
Shout out to Annie. You guys ate that, like, honestly.
One of the many. They did so much. It was crazy.
They did so much. Like, yeah. As you guys know, I am fashion ignorant, but I was just amazed at how many different looks and how many different things she was doing. And she was one of the best looking Bravo loves at BravoCon. Yes. Like, not everybody invested in a stylist. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So when she had multiple looks a day and they really turned them out. I mean, it was so impressive. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, she looked amazing. And I don't watch Southern Charm, so I don't know like who she is to that franchise, but she was on the Shade Assassins panel at BravoCon next to like Karen Huger. Kenya, like Larsa, I was like, oh, she's a Shade Assassin. So she must be like real.
She's not the most liked, but she is shady and she is cunty and she does turn out a look. So,
I think that's who I would love and like. Shout out to Mo and Colson. You guys did great. And Mo will be stepping away a little bit from the mic, guys. He's just got a lot going on, a lot of cool opportunities. So wish him well, DM him. He's going to be back here and there as he can. But for the foreseeable future, myself, Zach, Annie, and Maddie will definitely be holding down the mic, kind of on like a rotating the view panel basis. Annie and Maddie, like I could listen to you guys all the time after listening to your episode last week.
We have fun.
You don't even need us. You don't even need the gays. we have a lot to get into today. Four different Housewives franchises on this week. Ooh. Yeah. Starting with the premiere of one of my favorite franchises. Let's get into The Real Housewives of Potomac Season 8 premiere.
What do you want me to do, Giselle?
I don't. No, no, no. I just want you to be happy. I want you to live your best life.
This is the thing. The world wants to tear us apart, right? And yes, my joy has been taken, but it's not Juan's fault.
It kind of is. It's Juan's fault.
His actions are determining.
Juan wasn't in the salon. Juan was in the laundromat.
Take away the fact that
Juan was at the hotel.
Okay, bring it on. You know what I'm saying? Like, just bring it on. I don't give a anymore.
You don't have to act like this isn't bothering you. The world has come after you as it relates to Juan.
I don't give a f-. Pile it on. They've already stole my joy. Just keep beating me up.
Do you feel like we have your back? Because we're here today because we do.
All of this has been a pile on, and this is cruel.
The Ladies of Potomac are back. This is one of my favorite franchises. It was the basically first franchise that I really binged. Yeah, and I just love these women. I thought last season was still really great, even though some people on this microphone did not think that.
Yeah, that's me. Yep.
And starting, I'm just going to come out and right out and say it. Starting with that premiere episode, I'm worried for my Ladies of Potomac. I didn't glean a lot from this premiere episode. Let's just say that. Annie, what did you think?
Yeah. I mean, and I always go into everything with like an open heart, open mind, you know, open optimism. Mind. Yes. I'm very positive and spiritual in that way. But no, I want to like it, but I was a little soured off last season still. I think that like, I really did not enjoy last season a ton. I'm really hoping for more this season. And while I understand that the Robin drama, you know, during the break was very big, at the same time, I was like, you know, much like her tagline, I don't care.
Don't care.
Yeah. I also don't care. So
you really don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So you can miss me with that. I mean, honestly, like, I just feel like the fact that the entire episode was about that, I was just like, I care almost less than you do, Robin. So like, whatever. I mean, it's important to talk about, but it was a concerning episode for me.
Well, Giselle also kind of showcased like her like dating, right? Like we saw a little bit of that from Giselle this episode. Giselle,
that hot guy from Winter House or Summer House or one of those houses.
Yeah. So there was a little bit of that. Saw her daughters, kind of did that. It's like pulling teeth to talk about. Let me reset here. I'm like, Annie.
It wasn't a good episode, you guys.
I'm like, yeah, seriously. Oh, okay. I'm like literally like looking through notes. And Gordon, we know that they're going to divorce. It looks like they have not in this first episode.
Who?
Mia and Gordon, the joint chiropractic.
You know, I don't watch spoilers. I didn't know that.
Oh, really? You had no idea that. What do you mean you don't watch spoilers? You don't read the news?
I don't look.
You don't see headlines on like your timeline? You follow like Bravo accounts and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
no,
like not I, like a spoil. That's not a spoiler, Annie.
No, I scroll through. I like okay. scroll through.
Let's ask the listeners. Listeners, I need you to DM us. Tell us.
No.
Tell us your opinion. Is that considered a spoiler? I think, you know, this is like when Crystal used the word violated on Sudden. You know.
And you know I what? I agreed with her about that. Okay.
I think the word spoiled is just a little too extreme, Annie.
I scroll through things that are like upcoming, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I know it's crazy. Like
how do you expect to go through life not knowing that people get divorced? It's in the news every day. This year alone has been a year of divorce for many.
It's shocking to me how I'm able to avoid things. And like, I don't know if you remember, but the first episode I was on with you, Reed, ever on this podcast, we were talking about Vanderpump Rules. And I had told Modesto, I was like, I can't come on yet. I haven't, like, I was binging Vanderpump Rules to catch up to the current season. And every time I saw a headline about Vanderpump Rules, I scrolled back like so quickly so I wouldn't read it. I didn't read it. I was just like, oh, I saw pictures and I was like, okay. I saw the photos and it was about Tom Sandoval. Like I saw a picture of Raquel, but I was like, bam, 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 like scroll, scroll, scroll. And I don't know. I was able to go a long time without finding it out. And I don't know how I don't know these things, but I don't.
Well, you know, more power to you. I'm sorry that I quote unquote spoiled their divorce for you, but now that it's spoiled, I think it's important to talk about because this scene to me, so they've moved into an apartment. This scene actually kind of cracked me up because it reminded me of when Nene went to visit Kenya in her apartment, and she's like,
white refrigerator.
Not a white refrigerator. Yeah. There, okay, like the video, the shots of this apartment, like I felt claustrophobic just looking through the television. Like the living space, everything was very, very cramped. And it's quite a fall from grace from where Mia has been so far in the series. Yeah. And the only explanation that they really had was that Gordon's brothers, I think, that also own it with him, like voted him out and said he doesn't listen. And he was like, what are they talking about? I feel like this man is probably not very self-aware.
He said, I don't know what they were talking about because I wasn't listening, but like, I don't know.
This is the same man that did the tongue flicking last season. Like, kind of a little inappropriate with the other women. I definitely think Gordon could be guilty of things that he's not aware of, that his brothers were like, we got to get him out of here. But
not,
yeah,
for no reason.
It's definitely not. And this, of course, means that Mia no longer has her job as, what was it? Head dingbat in charge. I saw it.
H-D-I-C.
I've seen this on the interwebs before, but I love this meme. It's like, category is, their head would make a rattle sound if you shook it, if you shook them. And it's like Lisa Hochstein from Miami, like Mia from Potomac. And it just cracks me up because it's like,
I think she was like the accountant or something, or marketing
officer or something. She had some boss and CEO title, because it made her walk around, you know, like she was brand new.
I will say, the whatever the title was, it sounded like a real job. And so for that reason, you would think that if that's her actual profession, that she would have no problem finding a new job doing that for a different company. Alas, she has not.
Okay, we have to talk about Jacqueline, though, because she's not in this season. But we, you know, Gordon bought her a car, and know she's driving that thing with the windows down, the sunroof open right now. She's cackling as she drives off into the sunset with that car.
Gordon probably repoed it.
Yeah. I like to think that she got away. A big part of the, like, did anything really happen with the Grand Dame? Like, what happened with Karen? Why am I not remembering?
Nothing happened.
Or Candace.
I need more Candace. I need more Candace.
It really was like a focus on Robin, which is, I think, the problem with this episode.
Very heavily Robin, yeah.
And like it culminates toward the end with like this quote unquote intervention. Like so many of Giselle's scenes, this scene just felt manufactured. Like Giselle's got nothing better to do, and they're like, production's like, okay, we're filming season 8. Let's start like pitching, like, what do you want us to come film? What can we film? And Giselle's like, let me think. Let me have Charisse and Ashley over, and let's confront Robin about Juan. It just didn't feel fully like real. And Charisse sat there with her mouth shut the whole time. They go, Charisse, you got anything to say? She's like, oh, I don't have anything to say yet.
She's like, I actually didn't prepare for this segment.
Giselle like pointed it to her. She's like, Charisse, do you have anything to say?
Yeah. Very intervention. Like, she's like, I didn't write a note. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. No, I think it was a Robin sandwich, this episode was. And the middle of the sandwich was like butter. It was just like a butter sandwich. The two pieces of bread, though, were Robin. And that's never a good recipe.
That's some stale bread. We'll talk about it.
So I don't care. And she doesn't either. And like, it's like, I don't care about their relationship at all. I feel like she, I don't know. The whole thing is very strange. I think the strangest thing for me, though, is that like, it's not just, okay, you hear cheating allegations, whatever. And then it's someone that's married and they're like, we know we've been together for a long time. Like we were having issues. We chose to like move past it, blah, blah, blah. The timing of this all, though, was very, very, very strange for me, because it was like, this was in the midst of them literally getting married again. It's like, that's what's so weird to me. It's like, why would you be doing this whole wedding and shit? Like, it opens up with her framing photos from their wedding and then simultaneously talking about the cheating allegations. Like, this is just such weird fucking timing.
Maybe she knows, and maybe she doesn't care. You know, I don't know. Yeah, definitely underwhelming first episode of this season. The new girl, NECA, I'm excited for her to come in. Hopefully that, you know, gets things going. I don't have a lot of other thoughts on the season premiere of Potomac. It was followed by the season premiere of Married to Medicine, which is a show I don't watch, but I am going to watch this season because of Phaedra. And without knowing a lot about these women, I thought that was a really good episode. I think Married to Med should have maybe had the first slot of Sunday night.
I hear good things about it. I haven't watched it myself either, but yeah, I hear really great things about that show all the time. So
it feels like Housewives a little bit, but also not. And these are all like very powerful women in Atlanta. So it's almost like maybe focus on them for a while. If Real Housewives of Atlanta can't find its way back. Although at BravoCon, there was a lot kind of said by Andy in a panel and stuff about like Atlanta needing a rework. And I really feel like the odds of it getting a Roni style reboot are high.
No.
You don't think so?
The Roni reboot was kind of a flop, you guys. Like, I've already told you I don't like agree with it, but I also, I mean, like.
But they're going to do that again.
A rework is very different.
Well, sorry. Okay. Whoa. Rewind the tapes. I said Roni style reboot. And what I definitely meant was Miami style reboot.
Okay.
Because what I meant was that I think like a few could stay.
Yes. Okay. I'm fine with the rework. I'm fine with the mixing it up.
Portia needs to be at the center.
Let's do it, please.
And Portia needs to bring a couple of like young new girls in with her. And then you could have like Sheree be a friend of, kind of the way like Marisol is. And I think like, I do think Kenya and Candy could be the other two that stay full. Because like on Miami, there was three OGs that are full time and three new girls plus the friend of. So I feel like you could definitely do like a Portia, Candy, Kenya, and then in three new girls.
Yeah, if Candy and Kenya
are one of those friends.
Yeah, if Candy and Kenya can clock the fuck in again, and Marlo can be a friend of. Marlo really shines in a friend of role.
Let's do that. Where she can be on taking pot shots from the corner. That's where she belongs. And she does it so well. With that, we'll probably do a Patreon on Married to Med as it goes on. I know a few of us are watching, but we probably won't cover it week to week. But just know that Phaedra was chef's kiss. And that concludes our Potomac wrap-up. Let's get into the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
It's not that deep, okay. Monica. Don't make it deep. It's not that deep.
Lisa Barlow.
Lisa? Listen, I want to enjoy the sound bowl. Excuse me?
Yes, go ahead. Old people need it.
Okay, Monica, that's low because I'm older than Lisa.
Monica, she's older than me. So is Meredith. So is Heather.
Yeah, but you wear it.
I'd like to be natural.
Okay.
I don't look like the Pillsbury Dough girl. Sorry.
Okay. Are you telling her she does? Are you saying that about your friend?
I think you're gorgeous.
I
think you're jealous.
You're pretty. I'm pretty
control
gorgeous.
Yourself. Jealous of
control
you.
Yourself, Monica.
Should I go ask them to leave? I am beyond pissed right now. Where is Meredith Marks when I need her?
You can leave.
Do not come for my sound bath.
You're so triggered by your circumstances. I'm not interested. Please stop talking to me.
You guys, we witnessed what I think is going to be one of the most iconic Housewives fights in history on this week's episode of Salt Lake City. The sound bath, like just the juxtaposition of the tranquility. And Lisa Barlow and Monica Garcia loudly in the back being like, I'm going to try to enjoy the sound bath. Excuse me. Monica. Yeah.
Old no, people. She said sound bowl.
Sound bowl. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Go ahead. Old people need it. Like, they were going back and forth. That's not fair because Angie's older than me. Heather's older than me. Yeah, but you wear it. Like, I just can't get enough. Monica's getting a lot of hate. Guys, she's like a Brandy. I love it. The wrecking ball. It's so fun, but she really can't keep that mouth shut.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite part was when Whitney announced from the front of the room, Lisa Barlow, be quiet.
Lisa Barlow. Just like, that's all she said. Yeah. Actually, I know Mike is going to listen. Elvis's boyfriend, Mike, is going to be listening and he's going to think about the time that we were in his hot yoga class and I was in the back. Someone was talking to me, okay, but I have a loud projecting voice, if you haven't noticed. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Reed Chandler. It was very like one warning.
yeah. That's very that. Listen, I think that Monica, I don't know. I think I might probably be more on the side of the internet with the hate. I'm not vibing with it. I'm not dying for it. I'm not loving it.
Yeah. So walk me through that. Help me understand. What's going on? What's wrong?
I think that there's something about, and I clocked this from earlier in the Trixie Motel episodes. There's something, I love Monica at times for sure. And I think she shared a lot. I will already say before I can even wrap this season that I know that I want her on a second season. I know that.
Like, don't, so, she needs to stay.
Totally that. But I'm just, there's something about her at times that does feel inauthentic. And I don't know, but like when you can kind of see the wheels turning in someone's head, it almost feels like you can just tell that she's watched Real Housewives a lot and that she's trying to have these kind of like one-liners, like she wants to be a memeable moment. And I feel like I can see that from her. And like, when I'm seeing that, like the thing with Lisa or even Meredith, and I don't even like love, I don't really love Meredith, but like thing about those two especially is like, it seems believable to me that like, that's how they really talk when cameras are down. Like they just say these, you know, kind of delusional, almost iconic things, but like, that's just like how they speak. With Monica, there's a part of it at times that just feels like she's like trying to have a moment. And let me say this, telling someone's age is not an insult. Like, it's not like she's trying to have this moment where it's like, okay, glasses. Like, but it's not that. It's okay. Not that. She's trying to have that, but it's not reading to me.
Not too much on my girl, Monica. I hear you. It's crazy because I don't see it that way at all. I've never seen her. I've never seen wheels turn in her head. I have like a good girlfriend that reminds me of her. And so I feel like I know her. I feel like I know her. When I see her, I get her, and I'm not getting that from her at all. Obviously, earmuffs, Annie, spoiler, Monica and Heather Gay are in a lawsuit over Lab and Laser. Obviously, the evidence does point toward Monica being shady because she certainly, apparently she used aliases on every visit and all this stuff. So there's like mounting evidence that like she's trying to get out of paying for them. I know someone who was an esthetician in Salt Lake, and they said that they personally would never be caught getting injections at Beauty Lab. And that led to us thinking certain things about Heather's black eye last season and what that could have been from. And so, yeah, I don't know
who to believe. That's been debunked, though.
I don't know who to believe, but I think Monica is very much a Brandy Glanville, and there's a lot of hate on her, and she was very ostracized at BravoCon by the rest of her cast. They were one of the only Housewives cast that didn't do a panel because their reunion's coming up so soon. So Bravo didn't want like all the emotion to come out at BravoCon, but like no one on the cast was anywhere near Monica the whole BravoCon. And it was very noticeable. Mm-hmm. She was very much on her own, which I kind of felt bad about. She's like the new girl, but apparently shit's going down in this cast trip and this finale. Obviously the reunion's going to be really intense, especially now that Heather and her are involved in a lawsuit, and she worked for Jen Shah. So I can see how you and others maybe I can see how you would think like, okay, I think this is all a con. Like the things she says, the things she's doing, like maybe she's like, maybe there is something underneath the surface, but I just don't see that. I see a girl who's so bad, like not bad at this, because I don't think she's bad at reading, but she's like a bull in a china shop. There's no poise to it. Yeah. I don't think that she's like
planning. Not good at it.
Well, I don't think she's planning it. I think like her insults to Lisa, I could hear my girlfriend saying these in a fight to somebody. Like, it's like that little sister, like you're fighting with her and she's just like going to say the nastiest shit to you because she knows it's going to get to you. Like, that's Monica's way of fighting. And it's very childish. And I think it comes from a place of trauma with her mother.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So going back to me not wanting spoilers, like I obviously see what I see and I have seen the Beauty Lab stuff. And like, I, one thing about me not wanting spoilers is most of it is that I don't let myself even think about them. Like I act like I don't know them when I'm watching these shows so I can watch it with a clear lens. I like to pretend like I don't know what's going to happen, if that makes sense. Like, so even when I see the spoilers or whatever you want to call them, like what's going to happen later, I'm still watching this episode as if Heather and Monica are still cool. Like I don't like to think like that far ahead, basically. So I like to watch it as if it's like a scripted show and I'm just like, who knows where it's going to go, you know? So that's not contributing to my thought process at all, actually. I'm just like watching the way that she moves. And like you said, she's a bull in a china shop. And I feel like the way that she like has multiple times in this one episode, even like thrown out the whole like age thing with Lisa, it just, it feels very much like she's trying to have like a moment, like almost like, even though I kind of loved it, but it's similar to like when Candace was like constantly saying Sesame Street character, Sesame Street character, Sesame Street character.
Because she was like a Sesame Street character. Don't even go there.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's similar to when Candace was trying to make that moment happen. And Candace was like, okay, let me get the sound bite out there. Like she was like, I think I have something here. She's like, I made a funny joke and I want to make sure that the cameras like catch it. So she didn't mention it in a confessional just once. She did multiple times in a confessional, multiple times in an episode. Like Candace was trying to like have that insult happen. It's almost like how Monica is trying to have this like 50 year old wannabe, oh, your age, oh, you wear it. Like, it's like, it's almost like she's trying to make that like sound bite or that like meme happen. And I'm just like, that's what I'm seeing. Almost like when Jen Fessler came on the screen in New Jersey, who actually also loved Jen Fessler, but like her like kind of like frantically eating food and being like, you're gonna eat that sandwich. Like I felt like the wheels turning in her head, almost like she was trying to make like a memeable moment with like her stuffing her face with a sandwich or mozzarella. Like, I don't know. That's just what I see. That's how it feels. It's my gut. It's a gut reaction.
Yeah. I mean, she's very polarizing and that's part of what I love about her too. I want her on the show.
Totally.
Yeah. I definitely love the drama. The scene between her and Angie at the beginning of the episode, I thought was really touching.
Those sleeves though, that Angie wore to Froyo, not appropriate. Just have to say that.
Yeah, Angie K always confuses me. But yeah, they met and talked and Angie opened up and shared about her own mother and having alcoholism and losing her mom at like the age of 8, I think. And in that moment, you could see that these ladies like realize there's a lot more to them. What I find interesting is how do you go from that where you have such a like sincere moment to what we saw last week on Twitter, where they were dragging each other down the last couple weeks, I guess. Clearly, like no amount of like sincerity, no amount of bonding that we're seeing on this season can get through whatever happens. Apparently, on this cast trip, I'm wondering if we're gonna see a Hurricane Monica. You know.
And I just honestly, like, the more I watch this show, like the more I find myself surprisingly relating to Lisa Barlow. I mean, I think that like, I've always thought she was funny, iconic, wild, whatever. But like, the more the time goes on, the more I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting what she's saying. Like, cause I feel like her saying to Angie, like, it's really bizarre to me that you, Angie, of all people, are like cool with Monica now, because Monica is the one that brought up the rumors about her gay husband. And like, whatever Monica wants to say now, they showed the flashback. Monica lied. Like, Monica was not bringing it up as a place of friendship. Monica was bringing it up to be messy. And like,
I don't think she was bringing it up to be messy. I think she was bringing it up to be a friend. I think that she has a very maybe blunt, loud, messy delivery. But like, Whitney went over there with her. Listen, Whitney and her both sat Angie K down. It came out of Monica's mouth, but Whitney was also trying to share this with Angie.
Whitney was the one that brought it to Angie as a friend to be like, this is what's being said. I think you should know. Monica
was like, you're not saying it. No, because Angie didn't understand. And Monica was like, let's just cut to the chase. Your husband fucks dudes. Obviously, she went about it in like a very bull in China shop way, which made for great TV, by the way. I was really enjoying that. I don't think Monica did it like out of like evil or spite. I think Lisa Barlow already didn't really care for Monica after the Palm Springs trip, and anything was going to be used against her. Obviously, with Angie, she's like, how could you like her after she says that? Blah, 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 blah. Like, whatever. Listen, it happens. Whitney did it last season. She was like, yeah, Lisa, you give someone blowjobs for Knicks tickets. What did she say? That she said Meredith told her. So it's like,
gas tickets.
All comes back around in a circle with these ladies. Elsewhere in the episode, we saw Whitney's daughter like get glammed up.
I love Bobby so much. I'm a Bobby stan. I love her. She's so cute. She's very me too. When she gets her makeup done, she's like, Whitney was like, no, just be normal. And she was like, I don't know how to be normal.
Like she was like smiling ear to ear.
I've actually like had my makeup done like on my wedding day. I think my friend was like, just relax your face. And I was like, I don't know how to relax anything.
Yeah. I met Whitney and her husband at BravoCon. I was around them for just a short little moment. But they were so sweet. Her husband is really sweet and like accompanies her to like the shoots and stuff that she does. Like he was in the back, like playing support. At one point he was like, oh, sorry, I'm in your way. You're recording. And I was like, no, like you are more important than me.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And Whitney deserves that. I love Whitney.
Yeah, you can tell that they're really sweet. And so, yeah, definitely a little Whitney Rose stan.
Okay, now I have to say something. I don't want to be a party pooper, but you guys, I Googled it, and the legal age to drive a golf cart is actually 16. So this gift that they gave her...
Is she 16, right? Yeah.
She's 13.
Oh. Well, hey, you know what?
So, you know, it's kind of like, it's
grow into it.
You know, it's, I mean, they really ratted themselves out on TV illegal. It's, you can't be driving that around. So I hope that she doesn't. And, I hope
she does.
Well,
does. Fuck the law. Just kidding. But
I saw this scene though. It reminded me of a memory that was unlocked, and we used to live in a neighborhood and I had a golf cart, and my sister, drove it around with me in it when she wasn't supposed to before she was 16. And she drove circles like we were doing donuts in the golf cart. And I was like 5 or something. And I flew out of the golf cart onto the street and got all scratched up. And my mom got home and she was like, what happened? And I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to tell you. My mom was like, what happened? And I was like, well, Mary Catherine was driving the golf cart and I flew out.
I know a girl who got so drunk at a golf course that she drove a golf cart into the pond or lake. And then I think it was like at a wedding or something, because she came in like into like the reception hall, like dripping wet with like seaweed. And she was like, help, someone crashed the golf cart into the pond. Like she's like literally dripping. I don't know who could have done that. It's way more likely than you think. I don't go golfing very often as a gay man, but the times that I have, and that someone's been crazy enough to let me behind the wheel, I've almost died. And I've definitely like flipped a golf cart by accident. So listen, they're dangerous. They're dangerous beasts. And I take back what I said earlier. Do not let Bobby onto that golf cart.
Kind of like giving someone a car when they're 13 and being like, well, you can't drive this for 3 years. So thanks for nothing, mom and dad, but whatever.
It's like Shannon giving Archie the keys to her car. Because like We saw how that I cannot stop making those jokes. Shannon looked good at BravoCon, by the way. She's mothering. The judge was like, I was gonna give you 25 to life, but you are serving.
Yeah.
Already.
Just get your looks right. Just get your looks right and we'll let it go.
Yeah. Anything else on this episode of Salt Lake?
Well, I will say the thing about Heather is that she was like, why wasn't I at the brunch where they announced, Jack's.
Oh, that. Yeah. Fuck that.
Heather, why would you be invited? You've been talking trash about it. This is where I completely side with Lisa. And I'm like, I completely understand what Lisa was saying. And she wasn't even being mean about it. She was just like, you're on this journey where you're anti Mormonism. And why would I be sharing it with you, even out of respect for you, Heather, of you're not really vibing with this church right now. And I didn't think you would want to hear about it. And every time I've talked to you about it, you've talked shit about my son going on this trip. And you know what? He's going. So deal with it. And I'm not going to fucking invite you to the positive announcement. It would have been drama. I totally get what Lisa was saying. I'm really just understanding what Lisa was saying. And then one more thing I did want to mention is thank God that Meredith wasn't at that sound bath, because you know how much she gets really upset when people don't respect baths. And yeah. I think she would have flown off the handle.
When I saw the episode title was don't come for my sound bath or whatever, I was like, is this another Meredith thing?
Again with the baths? Yeah. She would have gotten so pissed. Yeah. So thank God she wasn't there.
Yeah. Heather is kind of getting back into her self-righteous, that I don't like about her. With sort of it takes me back to when I was rejected in high school, blah, blah, blah. It's like, girl, it was also only two of the ladies were invited and their husbands. It wasn't everyone on the cast was invited.
Totally. And the way that she was the way that she still totally wants to be a part of the Mormon church, that.
She wants to be a Mormon so bad. She wants
bad. It's embarrassing. But she was like, Lisa, you're the least Mormon person ever. You would wear a strapless dress to church, really. And you're a part of the church, but I'm not. She's jealous. It's a weird, she has a weird dynamic with the church, with Lisa. She's never going to be okay with Lisa. She's always jealous of Lisa for whatever reason. And it's weird, but I don't.
Her home scene where she was helping her daughter with her, I think it was a prom dress or something like that.
Yeah.
And she talked about how she wants her daughter to have a normal sexual romantic relationship that's appropriate for her age, because she didn't have that, and how she hooked up with a guy and he was what did she say? They laid on the bed with I don't remember what she said. They did something. It wasn't even that serious. It was they laid on the bed together.
Dry humping?
It must have been something like that. And apparently he's we're never doing that again. It's honestly giving some of my closeted memories, actually, where as a young youth, it was very much we can never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
God is so ashamed of us. In a weird way, growing up Southern Baptist, I can relate to Heather, but the difference is I don't really want to go back. I feel like she secretly wants the inner child in her needs validation from this group that's never given it to her. And that's mm-hmm. all it comes down to.
She's trying to be I'm so done with you guys. I'm out. But then she's also low-key being but can you also accept me back? She doesn't know what she wants, honestly. She's just torn between two worlds and two feelings. And don't write this book if you're going to go back on it. It's just bizarre.
Speaking of blonde women who don't know what they want.
Reed, what? What are you talking about me?
Let's talk about Miss Sutton Strack.
Okay.
On this week's episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
All I did was go to the restroom. Then y'all just have to run after me, and make it a big deal.
Yes? I do think it has something to do with the pants a little bit.
God mother, I swear.
So you're worried about the ballet company?
No, it's about performance.
The integrity.
Hey, no, but she said her brand, too.
You're such a bitch. You really are.
How far?
What are you really talking about? So are you kidding me?
And you hit really low.
Did you not say your brand?
I didn't. Listen,
I feel so good now.
Here we are again with Kyle. She's walked into a conversation that she did not hear.
Oh, no,
now you're being a bitch. Now you're being a bitch.
Don't do that.
Yeah, now don't you be a bitch to me.
Oh my God, there's not enough tequila for tonight.
Hurricane Sutton has struck Las Vegas. And can I just say, I had PTSD watching this episode this week because I still feel like the dry Vegas air will not get cleaned off my skin. You guys, I hate Vegas. I've been once before with my college friends, but this was something different. It's called Sin City. It's a sin. It's a sin, and I feel sinful there. The cigarette smoke in the air inside the casino as you're walking through, the sights, the sounds, everything about it. It feels like, have you ever stayed up? Have you ever gone out and kind of like gone out too long? Like you stay till the sun rises and the birds are chirping and you're walking home doing your little walk of shame. And the birds are chirping and like a jogger runs past you and like a school bus. And then you're like, oh no, I made a huge mistake. That is exactly the way Vegas feels at all times to me. I had a blast, but it was only there for 48 hours and it truly tried to kill me. It tried to kill all of us. You guys, our trip was like a housewives like cast trip. There was so like never to be revealed in a Secrets Revealed episode, but let's just say if we had Annie in a camera, our weekend would have been like Emmy award-winning worthy television. It was insane. And all I'm saying is watching these ladies go to Vegas, it just was too soon. It was too soon for me.
It had a very different experience than you, I will say that, I think.
A little different.
Yeah, a little different. When I went to Vegas, I went in the off season. So it wasn't convention season. So it wasn't very crowded. Actually, we did go when it was way too hot. So we couldn't really lay by the pool. We went to the pool and it was like 100 degrees. It was not
so hot in the summer.
It wasn't sexy. It wasn't fun. It was like, get me. The pool was gorgeous. Rooftop pool. We stayed at a very nice place, like rooftop pool, gorgeous, whatever. But it was like, it wasn't sexy. It was like just dripping in sweat. Oh my God. Like, get me the fuck out of here. But like the other stuff, I went with my husband. It was like a romantic getaway. So it was just very different than what you guys were talking about. We weren't like out all night partying, doing this and that. Like it wasn't.
Well, hold on, Miss Thing. Cause I didn't say we were out all night partying now. Listen.
But you were.
My lips are sealed on what exactly went down.
No, but most people that go to Vegas do that. But that's what most people who are Vegas do.
I was awake a late amount. There was a lot going on. There was a lot going on.
Friend group trip is like chaos. I think that's just fair to say.
It was chaos. And our hotel room was like, it looked like I walked in and it was like an Amazon packing shipping center because Mo and Cole had ordered so much things for like their styling work, like boxes on boxes on boxes. I felt like I was inside a Costco. And so add that layer of the element, but it was in all actuality, it was a cute, fun thing. But these ladies definitely had it a little bit better. They go to this, this Magic Mike show, which I've always been interested in. And
sure.
it was certainly something. Miss Sutton Strack, this episode kind of is prefaced with her going to a dating coach. She can't get past a first date. She's obviously set in her ways. She's obviously really kooky. You know, it's going to take a very particular kind of man to like be the one for Sutton. And Garcelle starts this episode with sort of an intervention of sorts where she's like, we're going to go out. We're going to meet men. We're not going to run away from them. Let's have a good time. Basically talking to Sutton. And the girls start going through like grilling Sutton on questions, and they're all being like, oh, you know, she invited him on to a black tie dinner, like on second date, like in New York. Yeah. Of course she can't get a second date. Okay. And then Dorit says in the confessional, well, I guess if the roles were reversed, that would be kind of sexy. And it would be kind of sexy if a man was like, hey babe, you want to come to the Met Gala with me? You'd be like, oh my God, I need to marry him tomorrow.
Reed, there's nothing that I wouldn't do to go to the Met Gala.
Nothing
that I wouldn't do.
I think Sutton is the man in her relationship. She wears the pants, literally.
And I love that scene with the matchmaker, when she was like, let the man lead. It's cute. She was like, let the man lead.
Let a man lead. Like, she's never heard of that before. No, but Sutton put on
pants,
not ugly leather pants, but she did put on pants.
Classy satin white pants, actually. They were very
sweet. Really, something was up with Sutton the whole weekend. I think, honestly, like, Sutton was maybe like drunk or something a lot. Maybe she was nervous. She's always a little kooky, but did it strike you? She's
always nervous.
She just seemed like especially like strange on this trip. Like, even the way she was talking to Kyle, she's like, I don't ever wear pants. I don't ever wear pants. Like, I feel like I've seen you in pants before, girl. Like, relax. She was so excited to meet these strippers. And like, they made it mysterious in the teaser last week. Like, we didn't know what happened that upset Sutton. Like, I thought someone touched her inappropriately, but this whole episode, she seemed to be wanting that leading up to the actual show. And she's like, I wore pants for nothing. Stormed out of there. And then tried to say it had nothing to do with the pants. And she was offended by the cunning lingus of it all.
Yeah, so I could be convinced of two different things, but I will say that, first of all, I just think that Sutton Strack is going to run her course pretty quickly on this show. I've said this before. I think that she is honestly just like not cut out for this. I think that she is a very nervous, awkward person. I think that she doesn't know where she lies, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like it's just, this is all just showing a little bit more now. I don't think this was anything new for me that I've seen from her. This is very, like, very Sutton coded for me. But I will say, I know the way they chose to edit it was very damning, and that all the women are saying that she was just jealous because she wasn't caught up on stage. Like, I think that she was just trying so hard to fit in with this group and being like, I brought ones and I'm racy and I'm wearing pants and I want to go on stage. And I think even up to the point where they went on stage and she was like, I wore pants for nothing. Like, I still think that she was just trying to like make a joke and like, you know, act like that. I do believe that the thing that did it in the end was that she felt that it went too far on stage and she was offended by it. And I felt that way in the preview. I still feel that way. I also have to say, I kind of get it. Like, even though she shouldn't be upset, like, she should know what she was signing up for, but like, she was like, I'm going to this like Magic Mike show. She probably saw like Magic Mike the movie and was like thinking of that. That being said, I was not expecting, even if I was Crystal going on stage, for them to like put their head in their crotch for that long. Oh, yeah. It was a lot. I mean, I could believe that she was just like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And
Crystal's husband sees that.
I don't even think that the husband would care. I just like, and Kyle brought up a good point too. She was like, Maurizio wouldn't care about this because it doesn't mean anything. It's just a random person on the stage, like, doing this for fun. Like, I get that, but it was just, like, if I'm on stage, listen, here's the thing. If you're putting your head in my crotch, do something. Like, let's make it in bed and let's end it. Like, I don't think for...
I'm just like, what now?
I'm just like, for me, okay. Sounding bad. For me, I'm like, that's like, let's do it. But like, let's go back into it for real.
But that's what people are fucking paying for a show, Annie. I
know, but I'm not a paid dancer. Like, I didn't sign up for this. Like,
here's what I have to say. I have always been a big fan of Sutton and Garcelle, especially as a couple, as like friends. And I am aware enough of the current dynamics on the show to acknowledge that I think this could be both of their last season, because I don't think that either of them really bring a lot of individual storyline to the show. They shine when they react in situations. So like, Sutton was better when Rena was constantly at her throat and when Erica was at her throat, because it kind of created this like bully versus victim dynamic. It made me want to root for Sutton. And then Garcelle, yes, would kind of Garcelle would come to Sutton's defense and be like, and go toe-to-toe with Erica. And they're good at antagonizing from the side. I love Garcelle, but something I've really come to see is like how much she loves to take a little shot. Like in the first episode of the season when Erica cried and apologized at Dorit's retreat. And Garcelle was kind of like, this is a breakthrough, gives her a hug. And then it cuts to Garcelle's confessional. And she's like, do I necessarily believe it? Shrugs. Maybe. Like she can never just move on and give someone the benefit of the doubt. It's always like, well, you did this thing once. And that does kind of bring up a different scene in this episode where she was like, I don't trust you guys around my kids. Like,
Garcelle is the confessional shade queen. Absolutely.
Which is why she's on the Shade Assassins panel at BravoCon.
Yeah. Great. As she should. I could see Garcelle lasting a lot longer. And I also feel that Garcelle is actually genuinely making more connections with these women, more so than Sutton is. I think the longer that Sutton is there, the more the women just like don't really like Sutton, and they're learning that more and more. Erica giving up fighting for Lent really did play a big part in this episode and how it could have gone on a lot differently. Erica really did give up fighting for Lent. I thought that was bullshit, but it's turning out to be like, wow, she's a devout Christian because she really gave it up. Like, so that was wild, but like, she didn't really need to because Sutton kind of fucking dug her own grave. And then you could also tell like poor Sutton, like later in the episode, when Sutton was feeling embarrassed about being a prude earlier, she was trying to, during that card game, act like, you know, risque and be like, oh, I have sex toys. Like, and it was just like, everyone was like, what are you doing here? Like, what's going on? And I saw it very clearly. I was like, she felt bad for being a prude. She's now trying to make up for it. She just can't hang with these women though. She just can't do it. She just can't.
Yeah. I mean, she's always been the oddball. And that's again, something that I kind of liked about Sutton, but you know, with Rinna not on the show and with Brandy not coming back for whatever reason, this season feels like it is missing like an antagonistic character. What? And that's causing me to feel like, well, Sutton's kind of becoming that antagonistic character a little bit, but I think it's going to just isolate her more. Kyle was always someone who loved Sutton. It was like, oh, Sutton. I feel like even Kyle now is like, getting done with her. And even Garcelle was like, whoa, when she was freaking out.
I was gonna say, Kyle really woke the fuck up in this episode, and Kyle really went back and was like, you know, you're being a bitch. Like, I actually love that from Kyle. I was like, okay, Kyle, like let's do
and
it.
Like, and of course, like, oh, and like, just
yeah, that was great. And that's kind of what shut Sutton the fuck up. But like, I really appreciated that Kyle was kind of clocking in this episode, and I totally agree with it. And I also think that, I don't know how long. It's not sustainable. Sutton's like oddballness, it's not sustainable, I think, for
she's
that.
She's been around a little while now. Like, I think season 10 or 11 that she was a friend of, maybe.
And she was crying in the car because she had to go work out.
But she was like really iconic when she like said to Teddy, Teddy, I thought you were going to be a little boring. And she goes,
and then you're pregnant. Oh, I'm pregnant
too. Oh, God help us. Like, like Sutton has had such good moments. That's why I love her. But I think,
well,
this is a little bit beyond the pale for me. And overall, like they're in Sin City, and I'm not, this is a cast trip, but like, yeah. Besides that, like, not really seeing anything like exciting happen. I don't know. Like, I need more from this season.
I actually love these types of fights, though. Like, this is what I live for with Housewives. Of like, it's like not that important, but it kind of is. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that's what I love. You know, it's
those
like not
good. Yeah, those are good fights, but
yeah.
But I like those don't always aren't not always good. I guess this is how I feel like. Is this really, in the grand scheme of things, like one that we're going to talk about?
I hope we don't talk about it too much longer. I'm happy with the run that it's getting right now. I did appreciate how Crystal was like, because Crystal could be considered a prude a lot too. And so
busted it wide open.
She busted it wide. And I was surprised by that. I was like, okay, wow. Okay, cool. Like she really brought glam to this trip. She really opened her legs up on stage. Like Crystal is coming out.
Okay, that was so funny because Crystal, Garcelle, and Sutton, especially last season, were sort of like the non-Fox Force 5 girls. And we're sort of always like, you would think that the Fox Force 5 would be the ones getting glam. And I was cracking up that these girls got the glam. You could see it on their little faces. They were like, they knew they were the only ones that got the glam. And then the scene of like Kyle and Eric and Dorit like doing each other's glam was sending me
like cut to Dorit doing Kyle's hair and being like, is this enough height for you? And Kyle was like, what height? What are you talking about? Where's the height? Like them having a fight about her ponytail. I was like, I love this.
Another thing that it kind of rubbed me the wrong way about Sutton this episode was in the beginning when she like screamed at her assistant that way about not being able to find the pants. And like, it was a strange interaction. Like, I just did not think.
I think she was trying to be funny and iconic and it didn't land, but they could tell they were joking funny. Because he was joking too. But like, she was being like, I don't like this because like, you unpacked my stuff for me. Like, how dare you? I want to unpack my own stuff so I know where my pants are. And he was like, I apologize. And it's like, I apologize for unpacking your things for you. Like, I apologize for doing too much and being initiative. Like, what? Or taking the initiative. Like, I was just like, yeah, I just think it was I think she was trying to like have a funny moment though. I didn't think it was real. But like, I love when Crystal was like, Sutton, and she was being so genuine. She was like, Sutton, how do you feel about the fact that we didn't care about what happened on stage? Like, and then Erica started like cracking up and Crystal was like, no, for real. It's a genuine question. Cause I'm just saying like, if you're thinking about it was inappropriate, I feel okay that it happened to me and it was my body. So does that make you feel differently? Cause it should, because that was important for me for her to mention, because I could see Crystal, someone who is a little shy, like when that all happened on stage, I could see someone like Crystal being like, whoa, I didn't know you're gonna put your face in my crotch. Like, I'm uncomfortable. I think it was really important that Crystal mentioned to Sutton, hey, I was okay with it. Like, does that make you feel any better? Like, she wasn't being mean or shady. She was just being genuine and being like, I think you should feel better about this because I'm cool with it. And it was my body, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't violated. I was a consenting adult.
Yeah. Cause overall I like the whole prude thing kind of triggers like, you know, it's not your body. So you don't like, why do you have a say in it?
Exactly. Sort of, yeah.
Conversation. So yeah, overall, hoping for more. Any other thoughts on this episode of Beverly Hills?
Only just one thing that reminded me of an overall issue that I have with the Housewives is that there was a scene in the confessionals where Erica said something and then she picked up her like Frappuccino from Starbucks and like did like a exaggerated like slurp from her cup. And I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of Housewives doing that in confessionals. Like, I think I want to say, and I could be wrong, but I want to say that the first time that anyone ever did that was Lisa Rinna when she was like, well, you know, I'm going to talk about it. And then she picked up her cup and like did a slurp from her straw, like in the confessional. And that was iconic. But like ever since then, so almost every housewife has tried to have that moment, like where they have a confessional and they like say something that they think is iconic and then they pick up their cup and like slurp it. And I'm like, stop. Like, it's been done. It's been done enough. Like, please just, can we have a moratorium on the slurping in the confessionals? I'm done with it. It's so.
Ugh. Like a staple of Drag Race.
It's only cool every once in a blue moon. It's not cool every time. It's not like, okay, glasses. Like, you just can't do that. You can't flip a table every episode, bitch.
True. True. Well, they're not flipping tables yet, but we can get into the dramatics on The Real Housewives of Miami.
That's my point. You're not listening to me. And that's not a friend I want.
Maybe if you say a few less words.
Don't box me in, because that's one thing I don't like is when people box me into thinking, you get me by me, but you do this. And you use too many words, because that's my childhood. That's all I've dealt with.
I'm listening.
So you're saying to me, you started this conversation with don't cry, and then you're starting this conversation and you say too many words. I came to this country, I didn't speak a lot of English, and sorry that I'm using my full vocabulary. Okay? No, you didn't come to this country not speaking. Please stop. Your family, not you. So please stop. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Please, like, no.
Okay,
no.
Whatever.
Okay?
Whatever.
I think that Larsa, like, you need to offer
a safer space for people to be able to be open.
Gertie, are you really doing this right now?
Larsa, please be patient with me.
Do you want me to start crying too? Do you want me to tell you everything that's going on in my life?
We're done.
What are you crying about? What are you crying about? I apologize to you. What are you crying about?
Larsa Pippen is just incapable, I think, of being empathetic, but also like self-aware enough to give someone the space to share some tough news with you. Like,
but she doesn't know.
But really, like, all the women have been saying, even to Larsa at the gay brunch, which we'll get into, something must be going on. Someone even says, I think Lisa says, what if it's a health related thing? Like, oh my God. Like, they were all speculating, and Larsa's sitting there like, what? Huh? She trashed me on social media, and then goes to this lunch, dinner, whatever, where they can make up. And just like, if she would have just been a little bit more quiet, like, I think that they would have gotten to a really good place. And she just was ready to fight. And Gertie never shared the news with her that she has breast cancer, which was honestly like the hardest part of the episode. And it was, that was really powerful to watch.
So I did cry when she told the other women. That was emotional for me, very much so. I think that, and talking about the lunch with Larsa, do not tell me not to cry, okay? Because that's when I'm crying. Like, don't sit down and tell me not to cry, bitch, because then I will be crying, okay? Like, that I did not care for at all. That was just really weird. But I will say, I do believe that Larsa had no idea what was going on with Gertie. And I think this is a little bit where I use the word spoilers, but like, I think that we as viewers get a little bit too caught up in what we know is going to happen. And I don't think that we're giving maybe Larsa even a fair kind of judgment at this point, because Larsa genuinely does not know, like, at all.
Anything.
And, well, okay. Sorry. No, but like about, yeah, sure.
No, like anything at all.
But like about this,
where the head would rattle
situation, like, she has no reason to know. This is very fresh. Like, in IRL, when it was going on, this was very fresh. Larsa is still thinking that she's clocking into a TV show and she's going to this lunch to film a drama scene.
She was clocking for an episode. Yeah.
What she gets paid for is to show up and talk about the drama. So she's literally clocking into work thinking, like, I'm going to go to this lunch. I'm going to talk about, like, our issues, what she called me fake. We're going to talk about that. We're going to hash it out. Like, that's what she thinks she's, like, going to talk about. And that's her job that day, like, literally. And she doesn't really have any clue that there's even a cancer scare. Like, Gertie never told her that she was going to get a test done or anything like that. Like, I do believe we should give Larsa a little bit more grace in this scene. And I think that because we're watching it through the lens of that we've seen on social media and everything else, like, what does happen, I don't think it's fair that we're judging her too harshly on that. But again, I just think
it's funny. I just think it's very Larsa. It's Larsa. It's very Larsa of her. Just like, that's totally what she would do. She's like a little bit oblivious and is just going to stay on your neck no matter what. Like, I think I would have the emotional intelligence to, like, to feel like something's up and to be like, Gertie, what do you want to tell me? And I wouldn't be like, don't cry. Don't cry now. Don't cry. This is what Gertie's talking about. Like, Gertie's like, yeah, you're very dismissive. You belittle me. And here's the thing. I've never really been a Gertie fan, to be honest. I've always found Gertie to be a
little... No one has.
So I can see why Larsa is dismissive toward her. It's like, she's annoyed by her. But Gertie's valid. But I'm just going to say, Gertie's whole thing is just being upset about what Larsa said in her confessional last season. Gertie, put a muzzle on it, por favor. Which is one of the funniest lines out of last season and the show. And, like, I'm kind of over Housewives, like, that's your drama for the season, what you said about me last season. I don't know. Yeah. It feels a little bit like a reach.
No, I hate that also. And I was kind of hoping we would be done with that. But I think that also, I get Larsa's point too, where it's like, you can accuse Larsa of a ton of things. She is not fake. She does say things to your face. And like, even with the muzzle comment, she was like, kind of in, she was like, I think Larsa was like, well, in the moment when you were saying that stuff about Lisa's divorce, I kind of expressed that I thought you should shut the fuck up. So like, it's not fake. I told you to your fucking face. Like, I'll tell you again. Like, I am one of those people too, where I'm like, I might say something. If I don't feel like saying it to your face, I don't want to like talk about it, but I might say it. Let's say, Reed, I'm talking to you about Maddie or something. If I was like talking to you and I didn't say, hey, this is a secret, whatever, I would probably say something that I would actually say to Maddie's face. And that way, if she asked me, I'll be like, yeah, I said it. What? Like, I'm not being fake. I'll tell you to your fucking face. Like, that's very Larsa to me. Like, and I feel like that's how she is in confessionals. Like, but so fake is not the right word. Gertie was just mad at her. Like, that's the right word.
I think that they all, if I was in a confessional, I'd be saying rancid shit about all of you, because
Anita, what would you say about me? Tell me right now.
I don't know, but I think
act like I'm not here and just say what you would say in the confessionals. Just do it. Go.
This dumb bitch Annie. No, I don't know. It would have to come to me in the moment, but I feel like you're, to quote Erica Jane, you're a showman and you have to give the people a show. And that is honestly what confessionals are for. Like, almost every housewife says something shady about other housewives in their confessional. It's your brain. Girl. It's supposed to be, it's honestly supposed to be a representation of what you're what's going through your mind. Like, it's supposed, like, that is an unfiltered territory, okay?
Yeah.
So I can see to a degree being upset by the things people say in their confessional about you, but I just feel like it's a new season. Let's get annoyed by something that she does to you in person that's on camera. Like, I want to see some of that stuff go down.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, though, outside of the Gertie Larsa fight that kind of went on all episode.
That's the end, yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of working our way backward.
Let's rewind.
It was sort of like two different things happening at once. There's a clear divide in this cast. I don't know if last season it was probably still there, but I think the Lisa divorce like brought them all together. But it's very, you know, this episode, Gertie has Julia, Dr. Nicole, and Adriana out for drinks to tell them she has breast cancer. Those are who she, quote, says she trusts right now. And then everybody else, this could be like the Beverly Hills version of the Fox Force 5. Yeah. They're at the gay brunch that Marisol was hosting. So it was Marisol, Alexia, Kiki, Lisa, and Larsa.
Reed.
Right? So five. Wait, the Fox Force 5 for Miami.
Yeah.
And they were kind of having parallel conversations, right? Because all
love
the brunch were like, what's going on with Gertie? Why did she lose her shit like that? What if it's a health issue? And then it cuts to Gertie telling them about the breast cancer. But that was where Adriana spilled some fucking tea and was like, I ran into Todd on the way out of Alexia's house. And he said, you know, in her very much, that.
Don't say it.
Latina accent.
No, but
Adriana walking out of Alexia's house and basically running into Todd, claiming that it wasn't really about the people that he didn't want to be around. It has to do with his marriage. And he said, you're exactly right. And whether
I don't believe it.
I think that
she's bullshit. She's bullshit.
I think that she interprets things wrong for sure.
Yeah. But that's a nice way of saying she's dumb, Reed. That was really nice of you.
The way that she loves coming after Alexia, like last season, as you know, with Frankie, and then this season, as you know, with Todd,
I'm honestly getting really annoyed with it, because it's just like, I feel like Adriana was like on the outskirts of this group, very much so. And I think that Marisol's mindset is probably a little bit like, hey, if we just ice her out, like, she won't even be a part of this cast anymore, because we can just ice her the fuck out. Like they did with Brandy Glanville over on Beverly Hills, where like it got to a point where no one was willing to talk to her, film with her. And it became, even though Brandy was explosive and made good TV, it became, she was so pissing off everyone that like they stopped wanting to film with her. And so Brandy got iced the fuck out. There's no longer a place for her in the show, because no one wants to be friends with you. I think that Marisol has the mindset of like, if we just ice her the fuck out, she'll be gone. And yeah. Alexia was very kind and patient and impressive in the way that Alexia chose to start the season off with, like, unlike Angie K, was like, I will offer you an olive branch. Like Alexia offered an olive branch to Adriana, and Adriana is now still doubling down and talking fucking shit. Like, Adriana, take what you fucking get and like messy. Say thank you, bitch. Like,
very messy. And even like, it's so funny, Lisa living in her old house that I remember.
Oh, that was so weird. I saw a preview of that like clip and I didn't know why we were there back at our house. And I didn't know for some reason.
I love the editor's little trick. It was like Adriana's house and then it rewound and like, no. Nope.
Jody's house. Jody's. Like, the fuck? And she was like, I wouldn't make those changes. Well, bitch, you should have the flashbacks to her depressing ass bedroom. Ugh. Oh. Not good. Not good interior design.
Adriana is just like, I love her for the fact that she is just like a hot mess express.
Yeah.
Never going to stop coming for Alexia. And I definitely think that's going to put her at odds, like you said, with everybody eventually. I think Julia at some point will. If it wasn't for Julia, Adriana would not be on the show right now. She is holding her hostage on the show with her and keeping her alive. But I love it because I love Adriana's mess. What do you think about Lisa and how head over heels she is for Jody? It does feel like rebound and like, I don't know. What do you think?
It's concerning to me for sure. Listen, he seems nice. I think they all kind of said that. Like, he seems nice, but the rate at which her affection has grown for him in a very small amount of time is concerning to me. And I mentioned this last time and I have to correct myself. I said Justin Hoppe, but I think it's Jason Hoppe, right? Jason Hoppe was Bethany's ex, and Bethany, God rest her soul, has talked about in the past that like him being so willing to film everything, she now looks back on it and is like, that was a red flag. And I no longer wanted to date anyone that wants to be a part of the show like that badly. And so someone wanting to be a part of the show so much so soon is a red flag. I think that you just can't really ever, it's kind of like being a gold digger. Like, it's kind of like, okay, if you have fame and or money, it's hard for you to kind of like sift through who really wants to be with you because they really want to be with you and who really wants to be with you because of the fame and or the money. And I think that that's like one of those things where it's like, don't offer them a spot on TV right away. He's like, don't give them the, what is it? Don't like give them the milk when they can get the cow for free or something like that.
Yeah.
What
is don't give
it to that effect.
But Jody is giving me a little bit of, what's Denise Richards' man's name? Aaron?
I don't know, bitch.
Okay. Well, you know who I'm talking about. Her man that eventually gets a little possessive and.
Okay, but it's different though, because she was with him before she even started filming. It's even more concerning to me that like, if you're already filming, you're already on the TV show and then someone comes into your life. Like, it's like, are you coming just to be on the show?
Yeah, we'll find out, right? But yeah, this was another slam dunk episode. Like, there's just, the Miami women are interesting. The gay brunch was a lot of fun. Marisol losing her shit at the bar not being built.
I have to ask you, how do you feel about a ton of straight women advertising this gay brunch when it was mostly framed around a bunch of straight women?
You know, if I were one of the gays who was fortunate enough to be invited to Marisol's gay brunch, I would sit there and shut my ass up and enjoy a cocky because I'm in the presence of these goddesses.
Okay.
Like, they are absolutely welcome and they can totally be the centerpiece. Okay. I love that it's a...
There was very few gay men featured in that scene.
You could see them. They were like, they were flocking.
They were in the background, but like, you know.
It was definitely like a party that people got an invite to. It was like, the Real Housewives of Miami will be there. Like, It was very good. Be a part of the filming. Like, it was good. Yeah. Like, every gay like that could be there wanted to be there for sure, to just be a part of that experience. But yeah, I mean, what else from Miami?
I have another question for you.
Okay. Hit me.
Okay. I know you're gay, but would you rather be at the gay brunch, or would you rather be at the meal with Adriana and those gals hanging out with Gloria Estefan?
I would.
You know, Gloria was there. He said so.
Yeah.
Which would you rather be at?
The gay brunch.
Really?
Yeah.
Not turn the beat around.
She was just like, you wouldn't be like.
Was that not her? Is that wrong?
I don't remember Gloria Estefan being at that dinner. I remember there being like a.
No. Her husband was there. He was on the screen. He's the one that apparently, supposedly, Adriana said that he was going to give this
producing
song to
her,
Mila Cabello, but he gave it to me and said, okay, sure. Okay, sure.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Sure, Jan.
He gave it to me.
And then he said, Gloria's inside. You'll see her later. Gloria was also there. The Estefans were there, bitch. And they were turning the beat around. And you would rather be at the gay brunch?
I would rather be at the gay brunch. I'm dead serious.
What's gayer? Like, what's gayer? The gay brunch or the brunch where Gloria Estefan is there? I'm just not sure.
No, but whatever. I feel you. anything else of note in this episode? I feel like it was setting up definitely a lot of what's to come, especially between Adriana and Alexia. She's definitely going to cause problems.
Yeah, I had a couple notes that I want to just say to anyone out there listening, if you were putting together a Christmas gift list for me, I would like a disco ball shaped ice bucket for my next gay brunch. So if anyone was looking for a gift idea for me, that's what I want.
Those little disco ball cocktail glasses were really cute too.
I would love all of that disco ball stuff. Please give it to me. Send it my way. Would love that. And I also just wanted to say that I did not really care for Gertie's paper airplane look that she had in her confessional. So I don't care if she has cancer. I don't like it. It didn't look good.
Oh my God, Annie. Wow.
I don't care. You'd still have to, you know, it's not a good look. So I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? This episode was a great episode. And ending with Larsa and Gertie at that table, fighting it out, kind of cutting to the credits. We're obviously going to see more fallout of that. But yeah.
When is she going to tell her? She's almost told her twice now. Like, when is she going to tell her?
I think isn't there a scene in the trailer where Gertie rips her wig off? And is like, I have cancer or something like that. Like, I remember seeing it in she's arguing with someone at a dinner table.
So it's not going to be like next episode is going to pick up where we left off. And then Gertie's going to actually tell her at that lunch, do you think? Or it's going to be a separate, cause it's like, like I said, I feel like she's already almost told her twice now. And I think that the longer it goes on without her feeling comfortable telling her, it's kind of, really telling of like how Larsa is, like you said, not empathetic or receptive. Like, that's sad.
Yeah, I was watching Watch What Happens Live last night, and it's like Bravo panels from BravoCon. And so they must have like, Andy, you know, these were filmed over the weekend, but Andy's treating it like it's a Wednesday night show. So he's asking Larsa, like, do you feel bad now that you're watching it back? Like, you didn't give her the space. And Larsa was pretty like, well, yeah, but also like, she could have told me that or whatever. So it's very much like, this is never gonna... Yeah, I don't think Lars is ever going to give in to that. But that's what we love about these ladies. That's all I have.
Oh, one more thing. Y'all know about the, like, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, like, feud drama, obviously, beef for many years, right? Or I know you might not know because you're not maybe into sports a ton. I'm not sure.
What are you trying to say, Annie? I'm a fan.
I was being questionable about it. I don't know. Do you follow
I do know the I do know that there's like beef. I know that Michael Jordan isn't happy that Lars is dating her son.
Well, it's weird because she was previously married to the guy that had major beef with Michael Jordan. And then like earlier at the beginning of the season, she said, anyone that like we care about like, supports the relationship. And I was like, so he doesn't care about his dad? Like, what?
There's definitely some, yeah, there's definitely some trouble there. Maybe we'll see more of it. Who knows?
I love basketball drama.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite thing. My favorite thing is basketball drama. That's exactly what this podcast.
Okay, Reed. So you know why I said what I said.
Well, Annie is incredibly tall, so maybe she's a basketball star. And yeah. Annie, thanks for doing this with me today. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we'll be back next week, guys. Zach, Maddie are returning. Message Mo, wish him luck as he's kind of running around having all these awesome opportunities. He will be back on the mic as he's able to. Thanks for listening today. You know where to find us, About_Bravo, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Subscribe to our Patreon. New bonus episodes coming very soon. Thanks, guys.